Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in a broken home in Findlay, Ohio, and became an All-American quarterback while earning a BS degree in marketing from Ball State University. He then chose a career in ministry over football. He and Steve Andrews co-founded Kensington Community Church in 1990, a living community where people can hear God's truth, experience His love, and respond to Him with freedom. The chaplain for the Detroit Lions, his name, Pastor Dave Wilson. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Pastor Dave Wilson, the co-founder with Steve Andrews of Kensington Community Church, which was founded 22 years ago today. Dave, yeah. Welcome. What an honor.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here, and I had no idea it was exactly today, but it was.
Can we start by talking about your childhood?
Yeah. I'll tell you my childhood through an interesting story. I was talking to a woman named Janice. She's mid-60s at the time. This is 20, 30 years ago, and she started telling me her life story. And it's pretty interesting. She married an airline pilot with Eastern Airlines back in the 50s, had, as she called it, four jacks and a queen. They lived in New Jersey, and that meant four sons and a daughter. She goes into this amazing story about her husband becoming a captain with Eastern Airlines back in the 60s, building houses on the side, amazing life, amazing marriage, sort of the perfect American family. And then the story starts to change. She tells me that around year 24, 25 of their marriage, she starts to suspect that her husband, a captain, Captain Ralph, now was possibly having an affair. Some people had told her that. She decides to call the hotel where he often lays over on a trip and maybe try to see if any of this is true by catching him. You know, I'm listening to this story, and, like, you got to be kidding me. It sounds like a TV sitcom. She calls the hotel, finds out from the receptionist, who didn't know this was Captain Ralph's wife calling, as she asked, "Where is Captain Ralph checked in?" And she said, "Yeah, he just went to his room with his mistress." And so Janice told me she found out that her husband is having an affair. He comes home. She confronts him. They end up divorced, sort of rare in the 60s. She moves with her two youngest sons to where her grandparents lived to start a life with as a single mom. And it's a sad story at that point. And then she tells me 6 months after the move, her youngest son, a little boy named Craig, died of leukemia, 6 years old. And she was left with just her one son. And that's me. Janice was my mom. We moved from New Jersey to Findlay, Ohio, when I was 7.5 years old. So I was raised by a single mom. You know, back then it was really pretty rare, and I had to deal with the death of my little brother all in the same year. So it was a traumatic change, obviously, in my life.
There's a lot of listeners who either have experienced a broken family or are in a broken family. What do you say to those people, Dave Wilson?
Well, I tell you, first of all, I would say I know how hard it is. I grew up in that. Today, it's much more common, but I remember in my grade school back in Findlay, I was the only kid I knew that didn't have a dad at home. You know, it just isn't that way today, but back then, it was really rare. I remember I played in a rock band, and my drummer wanted me to sleep over at his house, and his dad wouldn't let me. He said, "He doesn't have a dad, he can't sleep at our house." And I remember just feeling some of that outcast feeling. And I know there are kids out there today, may not feel it the same way I did back in the 60s, but it was hard. And I can remember laying in bed at night asking the why question, you know, why God, why my family, why my brother, why my dad? And I tell you what, I never really got an answer that I felt comfortable with, but I know the pain, and you got to hang on.
You go to Ball State University. You become an All-American quarterback. You get a BS degree in marketing, and you get a tryout, free agent contract, with the Cincinnati Bengals. $2,000 they paid you for that tryout. But you choose a career, Dave Wilson, in ministry over football. Why?
You know, what happened to me in college is I discovered a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before that, it was church. It was religion. I never knew who he really was and what the cross, what his death on the cross meant for me. And when I finally understood that, I surrendered my life to him. And radically, my life started to change. My priorities started to change. My whole life before that point was about making money, being famous, playing football, which I loved. But it just seemed like those weren't bad things, but they weren't the best. And I really sensed that God had called myself and my wife, Ann, got married 2 weeks after I graduated from college, into a ministry, hopefully, possibly even sports ministry, which we ended up doing at the University of Nebraska with the Nebraska Cornhuskers and now with the Detroit Lions.
By your own admission, you say that for the first 32 years of your life, you were extremely mad at God. And what changed?
I was mad, as many people are, about my circumstances. Being raised in a broken family, although I had an unbelievable mom. She was an angel, loved me to death. So I never really felt like I didn't have a dad. She really replaced that. But yet, as I grew up through my teen years, yeah, I started to develop an anger, mainly because my dad left and I didn't really have a relationship with him. And, I saw him once or twice a year. I could fly free because he was an airline pilot, but still there was no real relationship. And as I entered into my 20s and then as a young married man, I started to feel the angst of anger toward my dad for not reaching out to me. And instead of reaching out to him, I just blamed him. And so I carried that anger around for, I'd say, 32 years. I really did. I just did not want to forgive him, did not want to deal with anything. I just wanted to stay mad.
How did you forgive him?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting. I was sitting on the couch one day after a Kensington church service, and my boys, I have three sons, they were 7 and 6 years old at the time, they were playing on the living room carpet. And I look at Ann, without even thinking what I'm saying, I say, "Can you believe my dad left me when I was that age?" Pointing at my boys. And my wife, who's an amazing woman, turns to me with this incredible wisdom, which I didn't want to hear at the moment. She turns to me and she says, "You need to forgive your dad." I said, "What are you talking about? I've forgiven my dad years ago." She goes, "No, you haven't forgiven your dad. Did you hear what you just said? You know, you're still holding on to that." She goes, "You know what you're like when he calls? You know, you just sort of hold the phone out 3 or 4 or 5 inches away. You just sort of nod your head and say, 'Okay, thanks,' and you hang up. You don't really have a relationship. And you know, you preach this. You've studied the Bible. You know what God says about forgiveness. I really think you need to forgive your dad." Of course, you know, when your wife tells you something you don't want to hear, especially when it's right on, I just stormed out of the room. I said, "You're crazy. I'm fine. I don't need to forgive my dad." And sure enough, by the time I went to bed that night, I was like, "You know what? Maybe I need to start a process of God softening my heart toward my dad."
We're talking to Pastor Dave Wilson, who says that he became a man at 32. When we come back, we'll ask him, "What is a man?" And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Pastor Dave Wilson, co-founder with Steve Andrews of Kensington Community Church. Dave, you told me recently that you became a man at 32. What's a man?
Well, I say that because I really don't think I was free to become who God made me to be until I forgave my dad. And I picked up a book years ago on forgiveness, and I was reading it, trying to work through my issues with my dad. And I read a sentence in there that said, "When you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free, only to discover you're the prisoner." And I actually dropped the book because for years I had felt like I locked my dad up because he deserved it, because he committed adultery and he was an alcoholic and he left our family. Yet when I read that quote, it's like, oh my gosh, I have locked myself up because I refuse to set myself free by choosing, and I mean that, choosing to forgive my dad. And I'm not saying it was an easy deal and it was a several-year process, but when I allowed God to do a work in my heart to forgive my dad, I feel like I became a man. It's like one of the steps toward manhood for me. I wish that would have happened at 18 or 19 or 20. I'm just honest. It happened for me when I was about 32 years old. I tell the men at Kensington, the guys at our church, that's when I became a man. And then we talk at Kensington about what we call the four pillars of manhood. And I teach this to my boys and the Detroit Lion players. It's like, these are the four pillars. When you're living these out, you can start to look in the mirror and say, I'm a man. We take the word real. You want to be a real man? Or is like, I want to be a real man. Okay, R-E-A-L. A real man rejects passivity, engages with God, accepts responsibility, and leads courageously. Now, obviously, it takes us days to play those out, but so often in our lives, men are passive. It's like we know what to do. We don't do anything. It's like, reject that. Step into it. Engage with God means there needs to be a spiritual component in your life where you engage with God. Accept responsibility. No excuses, no blame. It's my responsibility. And lead. Lead. In your work, in your home, in your neighborhood, lead your community as a man.
22 years ago today, you and Steve Andrews started Kensington Church. How was it that came about?
Well, Steve and I met at our old church, a faith church in Rochester Hills, and they planted us or launched us out to start, well, we didn't know what it would be called at the time, but a church called Kensington. And our real dream was to start a church for the unchurched. We wanted to create a place, an environment, especially on Sunday mornings, where our unchurched buddies, guys that we played ball with or just knew that weren't interested in church, weren't going to church anywhere. We didn't want to get people from other churches to come to us. We wanted to find people that had never really gone to church or had given up years ago. And we wanted to create a church for the unchurched. And so it was a unique dream. It was exactly what I always dreamed church would be when I was a kid, because I always went and hated it. And so we said, let's do it. So we started in 1990 with 40 people.
Tell us about Steve Andrews.
Steve Andrews is my best friend. Met him almost, 24 years ago, and we started working out together and dreaming about a church. And this guy is one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around in my life, because he unleashes others to greatness. He does not need the spotlight. He does not need accolades. He sees a gift in somebody and he says, you're better than me at this. Go for it. And he steps aside and lets people that have amazing gifts do amazing work for God. And, it's amazing. Kensington's a unique place in terms of a lot of people don't even know who Steve Andrews is, or maybe Dave Wilson. It's like, it's a place where other people's gifts can be expressed and they can have the limelight or the spotlight. And that's just fine with us as long as God's work's getting done.
You look at a lot of these legendary church leaders, Robert Schuller.
Right.
Joel Osteen, Ken Hybels, Jack Bolin, the late Jack Bolin, Bob Chirac, Brad Powell. They're the quarterback of that church.
Right.
You and Steve are like Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You need a quarterback leading the church.
Actually, it does work. I mean, yeah, you need one guy, and Steve really is the guy, although he would say that we're partners in this, but, I defer to him, and he is the man. He's Mark Sanchez. I'm Tim Tebow with a better arm, okay? I can't run as well as Tim, but I can throw better. I think it does work. I think there needs to be one person that's the end-all, but I think plurality in leadership and plurality in the church is something that's God-ordained, and I think he wants all the gifts expressed. Does there need to be the buck stops here with one guy? Yeah, and Steve's that guy, but he leads as the first among equals in our executive team as we lead Kensington.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that the mission of Kensington is to, quote-unquote, to turn people who think God is irrelevant into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ through high-impact churches. If there's a listener that says, that's me, but you're not going to change my mind, how do you do it?
I would just say, come and see. Same thing Jesus said, come and see. It's an invite. It's like, and that's the guy, absolutely, Jack, I love that guy. I want to spend time with that guy. I want to play ball with that guy. That's who I want to spend time with. I'd rather be with unchurched guys sometimes than with church guys and be a part of God planting a seed in their heart that says, maybe God is different than you thought. Maybe church is different than you thought. Maybe there's a spot in your life for a relationship with Jesus Christ. that lights me up. When I'm standing on stage preaching, that's the guy I'm looking at. The guy who's got his arms folded and his wife dragged him there and he doesn't want to be there. And I just want to be a part of him dropping those arms and going, maybe there is a God. Maybe he does have a plan for my life. Maybe pursuing him is worth everything I've got. And I've watched over 22 years that happen thousands of times where men and women, boys and girls who had no interest in God, they are exactly that target. They thought God was irrelevant to their life, have had their lives turned upside down, and they are sometimes planning those high-impact churches to impact the world.
Dave Wilson, time after time through the years, when your name has come up, what I always hear is he and his wife, Anne. They're a true partnership. Tell us about Ann.
The best part of Dave Wilson is Ann Wilson. She's unbelievable. I mean, we've been married 32 years, and I love her more today than I did the day I married her. And I thought, there's no way I could love this woman more than the day I, you know, on our wedding day. She is a dynamo. We often speak together at Kensington. We speak around the country on the topic of marriage and family and parenting. And I just I'm on the side. I let her go. She is wise. She's gifted. She's strong. She is a woman. She's developing her own four pillars of womanhood, which she's teaching the Detroit Lions wives this football season. And God has just blessed her in so many ways. So I am so grateful that God put us together as not only a marriage, but a team in ministry. And I will not be successful without her, and she the same. So we love this partnership that God's brought together.
This is a new ministry, Marriage Mentoring, and you and Ann regularly speak to families all over America. Pastor Dave Wilson, what's the basic message you and Ann are trying to leave them with?
I think the simple message for us is what we call rock your marriage. You always hear the term, my marriage is on the rocks, and we wanted to flip that and say, what would it look like if your marriage was on the rock, meaning the rock of Jesus Christ? So how do you build a family? How do you build a relationship? How do you build a marriage? How do you build a home on something solid, a foundation that's not going to crumble when the storms come, which is exactly what Jesus said. You can hear the words of mine or put them into action. And if you put the words of Jesus Christ into action, he says you're building on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So we try to teach families and couples even in crisis, what it would look like to not do marriage the culture's way, but do marriage God's way. And it makes a huge difference. Doesn't make it easy. Doesn't mean storms aren't coming. But when those storms come, you have a foundation beyond yourself to withstand the storm.
We're talking to Pastor Dave Wilson, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Pastor Dave Wilson, who, amongst other things, is the chaplain for the Detroit Lions since 1985. It's a lot more fun the last couple of years.
It sure is.
On those plane ride home.
Yep, a lot more fun.
A couple's listening tonight and said, our marriage is on the rocks. And it's because of his work hours per week and also the job pressures. What do you say to that couple?
That's a hard one. I think... thousands, maybe 70-80% of the couples maybe listening right now could relate to that. I can relate to that. Pouring so much into your career, so much into your work, either the wife or the husband. Actually, at our 10-year anniversary for Ann and I, you know, I take her out on this amazing date thinking I'm going to romance her, but we went to a nice restaurant in Birmingham, had flowers delivered to the table for each year of our marriage. I look at the waiter and sort of give him a wink, and he bring one rose, and we talk about year one, brings the second rose, you know, year two. And Jack, I'm thinking, I'm killing it, you know? I'm Mr. Romance. This is awesome. We're talking. You know, women don't want to talk. They want to talk. And so we had this amazing date, and as we're driving home in my Honda Accord, don't want to say that in Detroit, but I was driving a Honda Accord, and I thought it'd be fun to park in the parking lot of the school where we were about to launch Kensington. This was 1990. We're about to start this church, and Ann hadn't even seen the school, East Hills Middle School up in Bloomfield, that we had rented to start services in a few months. So I thought it'd be cool to pull in this parking lot, maybe pray, and to be perfectly honest with you, Jack, park. you know what I mean. Go parking. I think it's good for pastors to go parking every once in a while. Anyway, I lean over to kiss her, and she pulls away. And I thought I just misread her. She didn't realize I was trying to kiss her. There's no way that she's not going to kiss me tonight because, again, we talked, we had romance, went to a nice restaurant, spent good money. I try to kiss her again, and she pulls away, and I say what every husband in the universe says to his wife when that happens: is something wrong? And she looks at me, and she goes, no. And I could tell that was just, you know, not the truth. I said, really? I tried to kiss you. It seems like you don't want to kiss me. Are you sure nothing's wrong? And she looks at me. Jack, I'm telling you, I'll never forget this. Changed our marriage. She looks right at me and says, well, to be honest, I've lost my feelings for you. And I am stunned. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, well, it didn't just happen, but over the last 7-8 months in our marriage, you have been so busy pursuing your dream. I mean, I was Detroit Lions chaplain at the time, which means I'm doing ministry with them, flying with them on the road. Steve and I are trying to start Kensington, and that takes a ton of work. Every person out there that's ever done a startup business knows the kind of hours it requires, and we were giving that. And so I was gone a ton, and I didn't realize how much I was gone. And she just said, you know, for the last six, she goes, I didn't get here in one day, but over the last year, I've been angry and bitter and resentful of your schedule. And she goes, honestly, I'm just numb. I mean, I'm not divorcing you. I'm not leaving you. But I just got to be honest. I don't have any feelings for you right now. And I got to be honest. I wanted to argue. You know, sitting there in that car. I mean, that was my mode in conflict. Like, oh, yeah, I can prove to you I have been home and I can pull the schedule out and prove you wrong. And it was one of those nights where I sensed the Spirit of God, and I don't hear the voice of God often, and I didn't hear a voice coming through the dome light in my car. I just sensed the Spirit of God saying, would you just listen? Don't say a word, listen. And I had to hear what she was saying. And so I would say to those couples, what I had to do then really was take a really hard look at my schedule and say, what are the priorities of my life? Not that starting a church wasn't important, not that the Detroit Lions, you know, my work was very important, but I had to look at my schedule and say, am I doing too much outside of the home? Our three boys were little babies at the time. She was working her tail off trying to do that home. I needed to learn a word that I couldn't learn very well, and it's the word no. I had to start saying no to things and be home.
There's a silent epidemic in America, pornography. Talk to us about pornography with the kids and also with the husband and the wife.
Yeah, I obviously sit down with many couples, Ann and I do, in all different aspects of our ministry. And just as you said, porn is an epidemic that so many are addicted to. Not just men, it's rising with women as well, but it's predominantly been a man problem. And I'm a guy that's said to our church, I have struggled with this in my past. It isn't a secret. It isn't something I've hidden because I'm in ministry that I would never struggle with this. And so I've admitted that I'm winning in that battle, but 15, 18 years ago when I started traveling with Detroit Lions, I struggled with that, and I had to figure out for myself, how do you win? How do you tell your wife? How do you bring her into the conversation? And so it is part of our ministry now. I'm a guy that will talk about that with men. I don't talk about it with women. That's Ann's job. I'll talk about it with men and say, okay, what's going on? Let's bring this out of the dark and bring it into the light, which is obviously the first thing you got to do, and let's get some handles on how to win.
If a person says, how to win, I am addicted, I'm powerless over it. What do you say to that person?
First of all, I'd say, you're right. You are powerless. First thing you got to do is what they're doing at that point is tell someone. It has to be in the light. This, as long as it's in the dark, as long as no one knows, it will just ramp up to a point where it's out of control and it's a real addiction. So you tell someone, then you get... I have some men in my life. We hold each other accountable. It's not a secret. It isn't the only answer, but it's a piece of the puzzle where these men know, and I know their struggles, and we talk regularly about this area. And then, honestly, as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus Christ, I say, you got to turn it over to him, and he can give you power that you don't have to win this battle. Is it easy? Does it ever go away to a point where it's never a struggle? No. I think it'll be a struggle till the day most of us die, but you can win this battle if you take the right steps.
Pastor Dave Wilson, speaking of struggling, let's talk about the children of divorce.
Well, I was that guy, obviously that kid growing up, And, you know, one of the greatest things a church can do, one of the things we've tried to do is a divorce recovery program to help families deal with divorce, help kids walk through divorce. The best thing that ever happened for me as a young boy growing up and as a child of divorce in a time where it wasn't as common as today was my mom helped me get in a community of other kids, other families that we sort of were raised together in a community. I didn't have a dad, obviously. My mom did an amazing job, which I didn't even know at the time, of going to every single coach I had in Little League. I played on the Detroit Lions Midget Football League, we called it, Pee Wee Football in Findlay, Ohio. I was the MVP in 1970, so I pull that trophy out sometimes for the players and try to make them think it was the real Lions. But anyway, she would go to every coach I had and ask them to be my dad through that season. In other words, my son doesn't really have a father. Could you reach out a little bit off the field to mentor him as a young man? And I didn't know she even did that until I was probably in my mid-20s. But I can remember John Graham's dad and different dads who poured me into my life, had me over for dinner, had me sleep over at their house. And so there was this community built where the absent father was filled by other men in my life, and I'm so appreciative of it now. So we need to create a place where that can happen for other families as well.
One thing I hear from a lot of families, great families, is they talk about their three or four kids, and they mention each one, and then they say the last name, oh, and that's our prodigal child.
Hmm.
Drugs, can't hold a job, in prison. It's one setback after another. What do you say to them?
I say, hang on. I mean, I raised three boys, and there's no guarantees. We try to do everything right, and I am so proud of all three of my sons. But you never know. You can do. I mean, I've sat with so many families, done everything exactly right, and then their kids start making poor decisions, and you got to hang on. I mean, Ann and I have been on our knees daily, even before our three sons were born, praying for them. So the biggest thing I'd say is you pray and you turn them over to God and you get a community to help you, and you pray that they will return, that they will come home.
We're talking to Pastor Dave Wilson of Kensington Church, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the co-founder of the 22-year-old church today, Kensington Church, Pastor Dave Wilson. Dave, since 85, you've been the chaplain for the Detroit Lions. What does that consist of?
Well, you know, we moved here in 85. Our first head coach was Daryl Rogers. Believe it or not, I'm on my ninth head coach that I've been with the organization. I don't know if it's me kicking them out of here, but you know how that works. If you don't win, you don't stay. But yeah, it's really interesting. What we do, and it's really a partner ministry with my wife, Ann, is really behind the scenes. You know, you may see me on the sideline on Sundays because I'm on the sideline helping out, but most of what we do is outside of the building. Marriage counseling, Bible studies. We have a couples Bible study every Monday night during the season where a lot of couples and single guys will come to one of the players' house and we'll teach a study. Sometimes it'll be on marriage, sometimes it'll be on character. This year we're studying the life of a man named David and looking at the lessons we can learn from King David in the Old Testament and apply to our life as men, as women, as NFL players, as businessmen, you name it. My wife has a study for the wives during the week where she just meets with all the players' wives and girlfriends. I do a lot of one-on-one with guys. We have a player study at the facility on Fridays for just men where we talk about some of the things I mentioned earlier, the four pillars of manhood and what that looks like in terms of being a husband and a dad and a single man and even an NFL athlete and dealing with issues, that temptations that come up that are unique to that profession. And then on game day, we have what we call chapel service, which is voluntary. Anybody can come or not come. And I'll speak for 20, 25 minutes before the game. And then we get on the bus and go to the stadium and play the game. And people think, you know, an NFL chaplain, all you do is really pray before the game, which sometimes I do, or pray after the game to win. And for years I prayed that and we didn't win. And now I'm praying we win and we do. So maybe I'm better than I used to be. I don't know.
You mentioned temptations. And these professional athletes, phenomenal temptations. Well, there's a lot of husbands and wives that experience temptations and opportunities. What do you say to those people?
You know, it's interesting. I think the temptations the men and women in the NFL face are really not much different than the temptations everybody else faces. They may face them on a little different level. There's more, they're exposed to more, I think, as especially as young men. I mean, these guys are 20, 22, 25, at the high end, 35. And so they're very immature as they come in here. They've been given, I always say, a lot of times the ministry's like, our ministry's a junior high or a middle school ministry with people that have a ton of money. Imagine giving $5 million to a 13-year-old, 14-year-old. Sometimes they don't know what to do with that, and it leads them down dark alleys. And, of course, that can happen to a 35-year-old businessman. It's just highlighted more in the NFL because you read about it, you hear about it, you don't hear about the same temptations that you and I face. But they need somebody to walk alongside of them and tell them the same things we tell our children. You got to be careful who you hang around with, where you're going, where your eyes are looking. You've got to be ruthless in defending yourself against temptation.
Kensington Church says that high school students have the energy and passion to change the world. And EDGE, E-D-G-E, shows them how and why. Talk about EDGE.
Well, we've always believed from day one at Kensington that the youth, that the future is in our children. So we dreamed, really, before we even started Kensington, that our Kensington Kids program, which would be all the way from youth and a toddler through grade school, through middle school, through high school, would be so dynamic and so good that people would bring their kids to Kensington, go to the service, drop their kids off down at the children's wing, and when their children would, when they go to pick them up, we hoped that their children would beg them to come back to church. Like, I don't know, Mom and Dad, if you liked it or not, but we want to come back to this church, that there would be something going on down there so dynamic that they want to come back. And it's happened. It really has. I don't know if they thought Steve or I were any good preaching on stage, but they came back a lot of times because their kids demanded, we got to come back to church. Usually, and this was my experience, kids hated church. You know, it was boring and it wasn't relevant. We wanted to create a place where kids loved church. And that obviously happens from grade school on up. So as they get into high school and start to make their own decisions and face some of these temptations, we wanted to be a partner with their parents beside them, say, we want to come alongside you and help you build the warriors, the men and women you're dreaming your kids will turn out to be. And so we see that phase, all phases, but especially junior high and high school, as incredibly important stage that we can come alongside the family and help build men and women of character.
22 years ago today, you and Steve Andrews formed Kensington Church. And today, you've launched 40 new churches in Detroit, Vegas, Columbus, Ohio, New York, plus outreach ministries in India and Africa, and you have a church planting goal that you call Vision 2020.
Yeah, that was really something Steve brought to the table years ago, where he felt like, we want to be a church that launches all kinds of churches for all kinds of people. We've always known that, you know, certain churches will only reach a certain group of people. There's different styles of people, different styles of churches. So we want to be a part of not saying we're the only church and we're the best church. No, we want to be a place that launches different styles of churches that reach different people. That could be here in Detroit. That could be across the country. We launched one in Salt Lake City. I mean, it's as God brings different people with different visions, we get behind them financially and people-wise and say, go. We want to launch you. We've always considered ourselves a hub, like Detroit Metro. Planes come in, they launch out to other places. We want to be a place where people come, they find Christ, they get a vision for maybe God using them in a little different way than Kensington to reach a different group in a different area. We're like, God bless you, how can we help you? And so it's a dream come true to be able to start that many churches and reach so many more people than we could ever reach just at Kensington.
Speaking of launching, at the Ascension, Christ starts to ascend. He launches. His last words before ascending into heaven were, quote, I am with you always. A lot of people today are doubting whether that's true in their life, whether he's got bigger fish to fry, etc. They say, Dave, at this time in my life, God isn't with me.
I would say, yes, he is. I've been there. There are times you do not feel his presence. I mean, there are dark nights for all of us. sometimes people think people in ministry don't experience that. Oh, yes, we do. And there's times where I have to go back to that very passage in Matthew 28 and read it for myself. He said, I am with you always, not just in the good times, always. And I have to remind myself that's truth. That's truth spoken by the creator of the universe to me and to anyone. That doesn't mean you always feel that or even sense that or have, you know, circumstances that line up with that truth. But the truth is, he said it and he meant it. I am with you always. Whether you feel or not, you can hold on to that as a stability, as a rock, as a foundation in your life.
Recently, I was with Mike Timmis, and he said that the dark is getting darker, but the light is getting lighter.
I agree. Couldn't say it better. It is getting dark, and I'm sure our parents felt the same way, but man, I tell you, there's some things going on today. You think, wow, we are living in one of the darkest times in history, and yet for me, instead of getting despaired about that, I'm like, this is so exciting to be part of the light where Jesus Christ and the church and people of faith can come and bring light, absolute light to people of darkness. So I'm excited. I think this is the greatest time to be alive. I really do. Even the darker it gets, great. Let's be a force for light in this world.
As our time winds down this evening, Pastor Dave Wilson, would you please lead us in a closing prayer?
I would love to. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jack and his show, the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray for any listener out there that needs to know your presence is with them. I pray that you would overwhelm them in some way in their family, in their broken home, in their despair, in their addiction, that you are right there. Your strength, your presence is available, and I pray that they would reach out for you and discover the living Jesus Christ who is available to anyone at any time. And I pray that you would bring hope to that person, to that family, to that situation. We pray in your name. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we pray for Steve Andrews, Dave Wilson, and the entire Kensington Church community and what you've done for our community these last 22 years. Keep up the great work.
We will. And can we pray the Detroit Lions go to the Super Bowl?
Go.
Let's do that.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Spoken. Looks like you're the only believer around.